You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're here to hit our mark. I'm going to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Michael Oloyede.
And I am Ari Groover, a.k.a. Ari Groove.
Yes! Y'all. So we in the building, y'all. We got one new face and one old face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I mean, your face ain't old. I mean, it is old.
He
but
said
like,
your face is old.
Like face app old.
Disrespect.
Never.
Face app old.
My black will never crack.
We got Michael Oloyede.
Yes, sir.
I said it right.
You said it right.
Boom!
There we go.
Boom!
Bomb.
Listen, look, second time's a charm. Second time you're on the show, I get it.
You
I
got
get it
right.
Locked in.
Thank you for that.
Work.
I appreciate that.
Yes. What's going on, bro? How you been?
I've been blessed and highly
Yes,
favored.
You have.
Yes, just like my earrings.
Yes.
Last time we seen you were non-equity at the time.
I was non-equity.
And now look how God has
look
just
at
brought,
God.
brought
Shout
the blessing
out.
Look at
over.
How he's moved.
Now you're equity. Now you're doing a feature film.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Come on, he got car service.
Baby, ooh, what?
It's different. It's different. I'll be on a train like,
Listen.
That car service life is a whole other. It changes the game.
Child, what I tell you. Game.
But no, things have been. Was that last? That was last August, September, I think.
Yeah. Not even a full year.
Not even a full year.
Yep, what? And how things just changed
it's
in an instant.
It's incredible.
Yeah, we both got our equity cards around the same time.
Yeah.
Things sort of just picked up.
Exactly. And I remember you talking about it, and you were like, this is what I want.
Yeah. And setting intentions for the new year and walking into the new year into your blessings.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Manifestation is so good.
Yeah, and I want to get back to that feeling. So I've been getting back there, but you know how you go through just like a drudge of emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
And that sort of makes things dysfunctional in your life when it comes to trying to be consistent in self-care, in taking care of yourself. You know what I mean? Like, it can, you be like, damn, it's 3 months and I ain't been to the gym.
Right? Yeah. I went to church this morning and preacher mentioned thinking of that part of yourself as the witness to your thoughts and your emotions.
Mm.
Sometimes when your thoughts are negative, you can witness that and say, nah, That's not who I am.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of having that be a part of you.
And
I heard that today. I was like, that's a way to.
I love
that's
that.
A way to navigate. Yeah.
Yeah, you can change some things for you.
Oh,
you
know,
And I even was just sitting talking with a friend earlier today. She was saying how, you know, she started to get down on herself because she's, you know, about to turn 40 and she doesn't have a husband and she don't have any kids. And I was like, I'm thinking like, that's a good thing,
that's
girl.
A great,
this is about
this day and age. Right.
It's all
like,
about how
I'm gonna
you
be
look
a cat
at,
lady too, because shit, they ain't shit.
It's all about how you look at things.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about how you look at. It's all about your perspective.
Right.
And to me, I was thinking like, oh, girl, that's amazing. You can pick up and go when you want to. You ain't got
no
responsibilities to nobody but yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't got nobody dragging you down. You ain't got to pay nobody else's bills but your own.
Honey.
Like,
it's important to think about the things we have because we have so much.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, abundance literally follows us. And focusing on that, I think it's key.
Yeah, but that's difficult when you see, especially when we're saturated with so much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We talked about
and you
this too.
Feel like I feel that way now. I've like whatever this Generation Z, sometimes it scares the mess out of me because I'm just like, you guys have everything constantly in front of you on your phone, social media. Like this one girl felt like, I'm supposed to be this because I've seen so many girls on social media look
do
like
this.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be. Otherwise, I'm not attractive or I'm not obtaining the things that I want to obtain. I said, girl, this is all a facade. You can make yourself be whatever you want to be on social media.
Surely can.
You really can.
I've seen it done.
And then when you come out
day.
And in real life, you're just like, damn, I'm been bamboozled. That's not for real.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
It's an illusion.
It's all an illusion.
It's a highlight reel.
Right.
It's a highlight reel. Like, that's what it is. People have to understand that. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, well, we'll get back to that. This is going to be good. I can already tell we're going to get into some good conversation
yes.
here.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, Michael, tell us what's been going on. I know I just sort of ran down your, you know what I'm saying, your little blessings and stuff. Yeah. I shouldn't say little blessings. Your little blessings.
Little blessings. Thank you. Your little blessings.
Your little blessings and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, little. But thank you.
Thank you. Listen.
What is wrong with me? But anyway, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Tell us what's good.
I don't know. Since then, I've just been, you know, minding my business.
Hey, can you repeat that for the people in the
minding
back?
Minding my business.
Thank
Michael,
you.
Like, drinking water. You're a little bit everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got a Bevel ad in Atlanta Airport.
Which is dope.
New Orleans Airport.
Yeah.
I was talking about it for Essence.
So, yeah. So let me tell you about this whole moment that happened with that.
Uh-huh.
So.
If you don't know, Bevel is a black hair company. Black owned.
But yeah, Walker & Company. They're dope. If you're a black man, this is not an ad. I really suggest you look into this company. They have products specifically made for us.
Work. Mm-hmm.
For us by us. Love it. But anyway, that week that I found out about that ad, I found out that I was in this film. I found out that we raised money for this digital series I'm producing. Mm-hmm. Literally happened Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That Sunday before, I was in bed like, what is going on with my life?
Mm.
I've never had a moment where I couldn't get out of bed. Because of just like depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that Sunday I did. A friend of mine, Duron, you know, mm-hmm. Duron, mm-hmm. he had an extra ticket to Alvin Ailey. We went to see, and that was my first time seeing it.
Duron is a member of To Kill a Mockingbird.
To Kill a Mockingbird, yeah.
Okay.
Dope actor, dope writer. So he was like, hey, you want to go? And I was like, all right. Inspired me beyond belief. There was a world premiere performance called An Ounce of Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I left there and I went into the week like, okay, there's hope.
Mm.
Tuesday, we met I'm executive producing a digital series. And we started crowdfunding for it back in May. And we were trying to raise $25,000 or $24,000.
Mm.
I went to bed that night, woke up, we met our goal. Tuesday, we met our goal by 102%.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Amen.
Wednesday, my agent and manager called me on conference. And usually when that happens, it's scheduled. It was out of the blue. So I was like, oh, okay, these motherfuckers about to drop me.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
What did you do?
I had an audition in a while. I wasn't expecting news. I was like, what's going on? My agent's like, hey, so you just got an offer for this film that I didn't audition for.
Oh, wow.
My God.
That's
my
God.
I was like, what? Huh? What? That happened. Mm-hmm. Thursday, a friend tagged me in a post. I opened my DMs and it's my face in the airport. I was like, what?
Blessings.
What is happening?
Yeah. Blessings. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, so... It's been an interesting few months, few weeks. My mind is in a different place when it comes to like just being present and being appreciative of everything around me right now, right here.
Oh,
that's beautiful. I love that.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah.
What's Ari? Talk to us a little about you.
Uh-huh.
Talk to us a little bit about you.
I ain't doing nothing but trying to be. Black and relevant.
DJ extraordinaire. Broadway star.
Come on, Broadway.
I don't know. I'll be trying.
You be doing. Yeah, so tell the people a little bit about you, you know, that you were head over heels on Broadway.
Yeah, head over heels. Oh, which is so funny because, the 26th? That was our opening. That's when we opened it. It was a year.
Wow.
I was like, oh, my precious lamb, my precious baby.
Now, was that your Broadway debut?
No, my Broadway debut was actually Holler If You Hear Me. Ooh, going back.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was like 5 years ago.
How old were you,
22, 21?
22.
Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous.
Fresh to New York.
And man. I was just like, my New York debut was actually Bear the Musical when it was off Broadway at New World Stages. And that's what brought me here. But I was just like, all right, this is cool. And then you learn, and you're like, okay, shows don't last. What you gonna do next?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bet. Work at the Museum of Sex. Fire. Talk about all the sex toys.
That's what so you did for work.
I did. I worked at the Museum of Sex, and then Holler If You Hear Me happened.
Wow.
Crazy, crazy stories.
So what was Holler If You Hear Me like?
It was, to me, it was like for that to be my Broadway debut and for it to be so black mm-hmm. and so powerful and so young and fresh. I mean, you had a lot of fresh faces. You had Joshua Boone. You had Jakena Calacanco, which is like me and her go back since the ATL days, you know, right. her Tri-City days. And
it was a lot of people. Jared Joseph, Carrie Compare,
Delon Burnside.
From Pose. Now he's in Pose. I mean, yeah. and then we had Saul Williams. You had like Christopher Jackson, Tanya Pinkins,
Saquon Jackson.
Sheesh.
It was a lot.
And none of that star power could save it.
No. I mean, you had. Damn. It was crazy. Jahi's now doing Ain't Too Proud. He plays Barry Gordy and. Jamie Lincoln Smith.
What did Jahi do in the show?
He played this guy named Nunn. He was like the old school guy that had all the wisdom.
Gotcha. Okay.
And his hands was always in the triangle
formation,
like you know, like around.
And this is he plays Barry Gordy in Ain't Too Proud now.
And who else am I missing? Oh, Ben Thompson. He was like the only. Oh, it was kind of cool to see like it was only two white guys right. and hella niggas. I was just like, damn. So, what?
Donald Weber. Yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot going on. Wow.
It was a lot. Yeah. But I appreciated seeing that because it made me feel like, well, there is a lane for us when we have material that is for us. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. That's actually the first Holla If You Hear Me was my friend Crystal's first Broadway show. And I took her to see
work. So how did she feel seeing it on the stage? It was just like nigga left and right. Like nigga was dropped all the time. I know it was so many white folks that was so uncomfortable that was like, oh, so this is like they really do this. This is their vernacular. Like
tourist. Can you imagine a tourist?
Tourist was like, I, you know, I'm just here for the Tupac.
I mean, it was Tupac,
but it's
so,
Tupac. He's real. You can't get.
It was just
more
different because people.
That.
I think people were sometimes expecting. People didn't really know what the show was about, so if they say Tupac musical, they're thinking that Tupac's going to be in it, right. And Tupac was not.
Tupac said, I'm still in Mexico, leave me alone.
Like, he's not a part of the story. It's a totally different story wrapped around his music.
Right.
But yeah, so that was an interesting time. And so you went over in, so from between not Ain't Too Proud, but you know what I'm saying, Holla If You Hear Me. And
shoot, baby,
head over heels.
Struggle bus. It was like I did that, and then it was like, okay, what's the next thing? I would do like, you know, pre-productions for a lot of shows.
Did you have an idea? Did you think that you would be working on Broadway consistently after that? Like you,
I'm gonna be honest with you. Hell no, hell no. Because I assume that I am authentic and raw, which is great, and it's like they ask for that, but they don't want it.
Right, mm-hmm. Ari got a head wrap on and no bra on.
Y'all, and no bra, because it's that hot. And people, mofos have been looking at me like, madam, and I've been looking back like, what's good? Like,
right.
You gonna get these titties.
You gonna get these today. Titties. Don't act like you wasn't raised off no titties, sir.
Right.
Okay? How you think you got here?
And look, she keep looking Chris in the eyes.
Chris.
And Chris is, look.
Like, I don't know about that. I'm just saying, dudes can go outside and they hot, they can take their shirts off and it ain't nothing. But right. If I decide not to wear a bra, all hell gonna break loose. Buildings gonna come crashing down around.
You be going into auditions with no bra?
Hell yeah, I'm hot. Nigga, I'm hot.
Like, it's nothing wrong with it at
like,
all.
And people be like, do your titties hurt? No, I'm hot.
Listen, you 27, them shits is perky.
Baby. Let me enjoy them now before some kid sucks the life out of me. And I'm going to be like, you remember the time when I had perky titties and I just walk outside?
Oh, my God. Okay, so you didn't expect that. You didn't expect that you'd be working on Broadway consistently.
I did not. I mean, even when I first got to New York, that wasn't my journey. I did not see myself doing that. Like, I've always done it in school. Like, I always knew I was a triple threat. But for me, I was just like, I want to be a backup dancer for, like, you know, Chris Brown and shit like that. And that in itself, that industry is shit, yeah. Just as hard, mm-hmm. You know, because it's definitely an image game and, you know, who you know more than what you know. And they vary, you know, like stereotyping is definitely a thing when it comes to the commercial world, especially commercial dance. So, but, you know, Atlanta, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's why I was going to be doing that. And then God was like, nah, I don't know what you thought. I ain't gonna give you all these talents for you to just be sitting here, and then you gonna be backup dancing behind somebody that's Jesus. Gonna have a one hit wonder, and then that's it. Mm.
So what happened?
So what happened was, boom, like this. Check it. So did, you know, Holler If You Hear Me. You know, he's hustling, doing the job thing. And actually, after Holler If You Hear Me, that was when I really started getting into DJing. And I used to go to a spot that was called Dub Spot. That's a spot called Dub Spot. You know, look at that. I didn't even mean to do that. where my mentor, his name is OP, he mentored me into, you know, the whole DJ scene in New York City, which is so dope because it's, to me, it still has this ways of authenticity, especially when it comes to music and the underground music. You still have the funk nights. You still have your house, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that where it's just an embodiment where you're just feeling like, dang, I feel like I'm at church. And so because of having that, it kind of helped me to stay creative in some way. And I still have my jobs and this and that and such. I did hella pre-productions for shows. Never got in them bitches. But hey, y'all can use my choreo because that's what y'all like to do. Cool. We'll talk about that another time.
Wait, what? Wait, go back. What?
Yeah, I would like, you know, they a lot of times choreographers would, if they have a show that they want to set, they would have pre-production and they would hire these dancers who they feel like embodies their choreography or embodies whatever story that they're trying to tell. Mm-hmm. And so you make up this material and it ends up being in the show. And then don't get me wrong, they pay you, but it's not like...
You didn't pay me for that.
You ain't pay. Yeah, it's like...
You pay me can to be I also be in it?
But right. Okay, so I gave you some steps. Cool.
Some residuals
so
or something.
So can I get... Which is a thing where I feel like a lot of artists are like, okay, so I don't mind giving you, you know, my time. And this is why I don't try to give everybody my best shit. Like, I give you little gems here and there, but I just think they take the essence of something, but then don't really bring it with them, which is sometimes mm-hmm. I have my problems with Broadway, especially with them taking the urban route, as they like to call it. But then when I see people, I'm just like, I don't see people that represent me or represent the people who created this style, this art form that now is a phenomenon around the world. Mm. So I'm just like, I have my issues with it, but you know, you still have to have a selling point. You got to sell to a particular demographic. So we all get that, meaning white people. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've dealt with that a lot. Like from there, I did, now it was called Halftime, but back then it was called Gotta Dance. They did it in Chicago in like 2015. And then from there, I did Donna Summer, the workshop, and then did Donna Summer in La Jolla.
So some of your choreography ended up in Donna Summer?
I wouldn't be surprised.
But you know,
they probably changed it.
Right.
They was like, nah, she not in it. They was mad at me when I decided to do Head Over Heels over Donna Summer. And it was just
really?
It was a business choice that I felt like was best for
I
me.
I think that you made the right decision, though.
I totally did.
Yeah.
Totally did. And there's no shade to Donna Summer. I think Donna Summer is great. I love Donna Summer's music. Like, let me tell you something. In La Jolla, I would be dancing, and then at the end of the show, I would have to run during a curtain call and do like this maybe 30-second quick change to run outside and be DJing.
Oh, wow.
Outside while people leave. And then we would throw a party, and I would like spend like 30 to 45 minute set, depending on how the crowd was. If the crowd was good, I may go for, you know, a little bit more.
Where was this at?
This was at La Jolla Playhouse.
They paid you extra for that?
Barely. You know, we was on that Lord Z. That below sea Lord. Level paid.
So you was having a little house party every night.
Yeah, and I mean, that was tiring. I'm trying to do like funk moves, break dancing, quick change
right.
to DJ. Sheesh. Now, sometimes I couldn't do it depending on the weather because it was outside. But most of the times I was just like, yo, this shit is cool, but it's exhausting.
Can imagine.
But I really appreciated it because it incorporated something that I also really love to do, which is DJing, which is why I'm kind of like, I would love to bring the notion of, you know, like we have an MD. Is there a way, especially for a lot of shows that incorporate hip hop, how could you make the DJ part of being almost like the MD?
Did you
creative genius?
Did you see at the Flea?
What?
Oh, I think
why
I
are you looking at me?
Why am I blanking right. on the name?
But why are you helping me?
With the prayer hands.
Right. Help me. At me pointing at me like
Sangu's play.
Who?
Sangu's play at the flea.
Was I supposed to see this?
You saw it.
Wait.
I've never been to the flea. I've never seen a show at the flea.
Oh, so then you didn't see this?
I've never.
I don't know why it's... I've seen it 5 times.
Did they incorporate something like
that? Yeah, they had a DJ. She was mother. Ooh.
You saw the show 5 times?
5 times.
Was it that good?
Yes.
And you don't know the name of it?
Sinking Ink.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
okay.
he caught that with a quickness.
Yeah, like, you know, we start to shame him. You don't know the name?
You saw it 5 times.
Sinking.
You know, it's Sinking Ink.
You know, that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, so they
okay,
had.
I heard great things about that. I was supposed to go see that, but I didn't make it.
Yeah.
That's dope.
It's coming back. It's coming back.
Okay. Are they doing something like Joe's Pub or something?
They did something at Joe's Pub.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming back.
Okay.
Yeah, what's up?
What was the premise?
A student who is trying to learn how to rap, trying to find his voice, and it's like there's freestyling. It's so black. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really dope.
I feel you.
And there's a DJ. There's a DJ who's incorporated in the story. They call her mother.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, it was dope.
I would love to see more of that. For sure. But, you know, anyways, I ain't been doing all that. You know, I still do things here and there.
I
will be doing something soon, but I don't know if I can say it.
Ooh, I love those.
Say it and we'll bleep it out. Huh? We got to make sure we really bleep it out this time. We had that incident on the show where we told a story and, like, the name was bleeped out, but then he said the name again later on.
Damn.
And we didn't get that one. And so some of y'all, about 100 of y'all, got the good tea. So we got to make sure. It's okay, though.
I mean, they made an announcement, but they didn't make the whole announcement. You know, they named the
Hercules?
The stars. Nah. I wish. Baby, I want to be the muse that be like, awesome 10 for 10 with the holding the sign. And she got the bomb ass weave. That's me. All day. Like, that's who I want to be.
Okay, so or the stars.
The big one. The short, what's her name? The one that, was that Roz? Is that the voice that Roz
I don't was? Know, but I'm trying to figure out what show you talking about. Like,
I mean.
Like, okay, yeah. So they just announced the stars, this past week?
Maybe past week or 2 weeks ago.
Okay, we'll just say it and we'll bleep it.
Okay, so. Ooh!
That should be fun.
Yes. I'm excited because it's like one of my favorites. Yes. And I'm just like, ooh, and they bringing it back.
And it's the
Broadway.
Good
part.
It's
like the
right. It's the good one.
I'm like, ooh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But wait, it's the one here or there?
The one here.
Oh.
Not the one in.
Right.
No, see, don't say because that was going to be fierce too. That was going to be just as black.
Yeah.
Like, they not ready.
Wait,
like,
but
they about to kill it over
but
there.
But the
too.
One here is not black. Is it?
Well, it is. I don't know who. I just know I'm one of them.
Oh, got you. Okay, yes.
But the leads, of course, you know, like, you know the story.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't know who the other two going to be.
Oh.
That's what I'm curious
about. How do you not
know? Because, you know, they keep
things. When are you supposed to start?
August 12th.
Oh, okay, so you find out soon.
Not find out soon. That's okay. Just like,
that's going to be cute. I can see you.
I'm very excited. You got, damn, okay. Well, I guess I can say this because it's out. You got...
No, you can't say it because they don't know what show you a part of yet.
Okay, then I can't say it.
So you got to.
But they have an article out about it.
She almost said the whole name. Yeah. I know they do, but you're not in the article yet, so we can't say. And I already sort of gave it away by saying the one here, the one there.
You're right.
Context clues.
So they got
That's
it.
That's all right. Over here.
So it's going to be lit.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. Context clues. Got
figure it out. Summer Sanders face ass.
So, okay, that's going to be cute.
It's going to be cute. But other than that, like, I'm really trying to be more on the, like, I love performing. I will always want to perform. But I also feel like after seeing everything, I want to be on the creative side. So I've been trying to get into choreography. And a lot of the stuff with choreographically speaking, I've been doing has been like short films and stuff like that.
Mm.
But I definitely want to get into the musical theater aspect because we got to change it up. Mm-hmm. It's like the fact that it's only maybe right now, Camille A. Brown is probably the only black woman that is a choreographer that is in musical theater right now.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
So many talented.
It's so many talented people out there.
I'm like, I'm trying to think like, wait, there's another one. Hey,
I know. I'm like, I'm trying to, like, I know plenty of people who would be great at that, but right. they don't get the opportunity to do so.
I mean, the same
so.
People work over and over again.
Yeah. And I know some, and I'm happy for Camille. I want her to do all right, of the right, things, right, but there's only so much she can do. Right, you know what right, I'm saying?
And she's just now getting her foot just in the now, door.
Right.
Oh, she's been announced to choreograph Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I saw. Movie. The movie. That's yeah. about to be fierce.
It is.
Oh, I'm excited for that. That's about to be some, ooh, yeah, some yeah, good storytelling. Yeah. Some great
okay,
storytelling.
Okay, okay. We got, there's so much more to talk about. We
I know,
got so much
right,
happening.
Right. We got a lot.
We do have a lot. It's woo, it's a lot, but I'm so happy that you two are here. Y'all talkative. Like some
oh, yeah,
weeks
we like
don't,
to talk.
Yeah,
like
some people
talk.
We don't. Some weeks we don't get like it'd be sort of it'd be weird because then I'd be having to feel like I got to talk all the time.
All the time.
Like, yeah, like I'm talking no. the most uh-uh. and like.
Baby, but, I'm from Atlanta, honey. We like
right,
to talk.
We're from the
yeah.
south.
We're from the south.
Come
honey.
On,
right,
come
right,
on,
right, I'm trying to fill in your spot. Chocolate Drive, ATL.
Princess Amber Iman.
Princess.
Yeah, she's down. If you don't know, Amber's away this week. She's out in.
Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, this is Vassar. I was about to mix them up. Amber's in Vassar College for the musical Goddess. She's playing a goddess
Word.
In
I just left
the
from there too.
Musical by Jocelyn Bio.
Yes.
Conceived by Saheem Ali, yeah. directed by Word. Him as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Antoine.
Antoine Smith. Yeah, that's Antoine my daddy. Smith. That's my stage daddy. Hey,
Phoenix
daddy.
Best. Janelle McDermott. There's a lot
Janelle.
Of a lot of our good faves and friends are out
ones.
There. So. I missed it. I feel horrible.
I know.
Me too.
I wanted to go today.
I
ran into yeah. I ran into Jonathan. He was on the way up there today, but life.
Yeah.
Right.
I just couldn't
logistics.
Make it. Ugh. I feel horrible.
But it, I mean, we'll probably see it.
Yeah, I'm yeah. sure we'll see it. It'll get to the city.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I also am going to make a trip to Williamstown.
Same.
For Donye Saw.
Mm. Yes. Yes. I can't wait for that.
Donye is like really adamant. Like. He keep texting me, telling me, tell niggas about Soft. Can you bring
tell,
niggas to Soft?
Can you bring niggas?
Williamstown is white as hell.
Right. Yes. They need,
and
they
need we
some,
need some people out
some
there.
Some gentrification, I
and
guess, in the opposite
99.
Way.
It's free. Right?
It is free if you register, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
As far as I know, it is free. I will be there on the 13th. August 13th, which is a Tuesday. The show is also on Monday the 12th.
I'm going to 12th.
So,
damn.
Yeah, get there, y'all. Get to Donye. Would really, really love to see you out there. Williamstown. Was that Maryland?
What?
What's Williamstown?
Wait, no.
Where's Williamstown at?
Maryland.
Is that
know.
Not Maryland? Where's Williamstown
it's up.
At?
It's up.
Is it not?
I don't know. I just know it's called Williamstown.
I want to say
it's that?
Berkshires.
Who?
Berkshires? I'm not sure
what?
Where it is.
It's up.
Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Massachusetts.
Listen, I'm country.
That, what is that?
Where is it, though? Say it again.
What is that?
Massachusetts. I can't say it.
That's like
yeah, it's in the Berkshires, I think. I believe. You know, it's where the white people go for vacation.
Right.
White people go for vacation.
Well, I mean,
they go everywhere.
Yeah, they really do. That's what I was just about to say. Like, I mean,
but look, if we could do, I'll do it too. Shout out to y'all. I will go.
Y'all say Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Massachusetts?
I can't say it.
What'd you say, Massachusetts?
Massachusetts.
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 Two shits. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a very Drew
like
way to say it, though.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. Massachusetts. You know that?
You
that
know,
damn state.
Can't get that shit out, man. Fuck that
shit.
That
state. Massachusetts.
Listen, that's funny. Anyway, let's go on. We're going to move on to I Said What I Said.
I said what I said.
Come on, give it to
I
me.
I said what I said. Period.
Period.
Yes. Okay, so y'all listen to the show. Y'all know how this go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all okay. do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to refresh my... I don't want to fuck up.
No, you're not going to fuck
okay.
up. I'm going to read the monologue.
Okay,
y'all going to guess.
90 seconds, right?
Y'all got 90 seconds to guess.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Woo! Okay, here we go. So y'all know how I be with these monologues. I just be choosing them. But here we go. No, but you know what I mean. The words over, done, dead, buried in the back. We got to stand up for ourselves, taking the words that they throw at us and owning them. I'm a dyke. I'm a nigger. I'm a woman. What else you got? Bring it on. Say it to me. I'm not allowed to go to women's movement meetings anymore because I told them that their march speeches should include women of color. They said, no, the movement is too fragile. So I said, you tell me when the movement is stronger because I'm going to join an organization that's about equal rights, compassionate politics, universality. So I went to the Black Panthers, and the Black Panthers hated me more than the women's movement. They can't screw me, so they don't want to see me. Look, I know this is crazy. You're sitting here with a one-woman coalition, somebody who nobody wants. I know it's bonkers, but this is all I have. This is all about being the best, proudest, strongest woman you can be. The woman you know you can be. The woman you deserve to be.
Damn.
It takes place in the 70s.
Okay.
Yes, I feel that too, of course. This is not the color museum.
Oh, let me start the... No, this is definitely not the color museum.
That's not that. I'm trying to think. Why did I...
Has it been recently staged?
It has.
Somewhere uptown?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Oh. Come on. Think on it. Ponder.
Chicago.
Why am
I... Who was recently in Chicago?
I'm trying to...
It's a new play?
I wouldn't say new.
Wouldn't say new.
I wouldn't say new.
So it's been done in the past, and it's been done again.
I would say this play, it's about 5 years old.
Five. Oh, so that's new.
Oh, that's new. Okay. Yeah.
I guess I've known about it for so long it doesn't feel new, but yes, it's about 5 years old.
Wait.
Is the playwright a TV writer?
Yes.
Did Katori Hall write it?
No.
Did Dominique write it?
No.
Dominique.
Damn.
Okay.
15 seconds.
Fuck.
No.
I'm lost. I don't know.
I'm stumped.
Three.
I'm really two, stumped.
One.
Wait, just...
Wait.
Yeah, no.
I know it.
Wait, no.
Wait. Watch.
Who's a playwright?
Yeah, I mean, you want me to give it to you?
Just a playwright
first. Just a playwright.
This play was written by... don't give me the line. This play was written by... I know the name, but I want it to, because I know this person also has a social media presence that is like hidden, and so I know that they're the other name, so I didn't want to say their
hidden
social media. But Ike Coulter.
No, you're gonna have to tell me.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to tell me.
Ike Coulter is the name of the playwright, and the name of the play is called Hit the Wall. Y'all never heard of Hit the Wall?
I've heard of Hit the Wall.
Yeah. I just didn't know the material.
Gotcha. Okay.
Dang. I mean, you got us.
Because I don't think it's been, you know, New York produced. Don't give me the line, but I don't know if it's been.
No.
But it's very, yes.
Yeah.
Don't give me the line, because it might have actually been. Hit the Wall was actually, yes, it was here. It was in 2013, it was here.
Okay.
At the Borough Street Theater.
That's when I just.
I was about to say, that's kind of.
Brought my ass to New York.
Yeah, I got here 2012.
I just got here too.
I was like, I just got here.
Right, I had just got here in November 2012. So.
I didn't know it was that. Well, you didn't say 5 years ago. I didn't know it was.
I have 2 days until my New York anniversary.
Oh, really?
Six years.
Word.
Yeah. Crazy.
I know it's right. It's
crazy.
It'll be 7 years in November for me. I can't even believe it.
Yeah. 7 years?
Crazy ass.
And I'm celebrating birthday. I'll be 32 this year.
Word. Yes.
I'll actually be 32 on August 2nd, like coming up.
Oh, snap. Oh, what are we doing? What's happening?
What's the party? What's the turnout? What's the fun?
And that's a weekend? That's a Friday?
Listen, I'm old. I don't
want to hear that. That's not what we asked.
Did you see Jennifer Lopez in the club the other night?
Right.
Listen, no.
She's 50.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And doing a stripper movie.
That's totally fine.
You could do something cute still, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be real cute.
Okay.
Disconnected in that's Costa Rica.
Oh, perfect. I love it.
I will be
what
gone.
What strip club we going to?
I'm
that's
not,
a real Atlanta.
They don't have
answer.
Real strip clubs that's in New York.
Yeah, y'all don't do strip clubs like that.
Not no. in New York.
Not in New York.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta,
popping.
We be like, so what strip club we going to?
But I can't.
Just for wings.
Just for wings.
And drugs.
Well, yeah, that's always a given. That's always not even for the ladies. Just you know,
wings and drugs.
Your,
yeah,
your local drug yeah. man that's gonna come meet you up and buy you the wings.
Okay.
So you can buy more.
One of my classmates was a stripper.
Oh, where?
At Magic City.
Damn, really? The one.
She's a doctor right now.
The
come
one.
On. Yeah. Players Club finesse.
Maybe.
I love it.
Yep.
Come on,
make
Magic
the
City.
Money. Don't let it make you.
Don't let it make you.
Okay. Well, we're going to move right along.
Hot Topics.
Yes. I love a singing Drew.
Yes. Come on. Give us something.
I love it. I love what Drew sings.
Come on.
I just did that.
16 bar cut.
I just did that just because. And I looked over at Chris and he goes, yeah.
He was like, I fucked with it. That's lit.
I cannot. Anyway. So I'm so glad we got. I've been saying this because I'm so glad we got these two in the building, because I know that we're going to have a great conversation about this. And first and foremost, let me just say this. Just going forward, like while we about to get into Hot Topics. Uh-oh. I post a lot of Hot Topics on Broadway Black. We talk about these things. I tweet about them. Everybody needs to know. Tell your friends. Tell everybody. There is no big organization when it comes to Broadway Black. It's just me. So when y'all get out of pocket and y'all be talking side shit,
uh-oh.
I'm not that nigga for that.
Uh-oh.
Like, I'm not that dude for all of that. Like, I don't care what your opinions are.
Uh-oh.
If you can't say it to me the way you gonna say it on the internet, if you uh-oh. Can't say it to me that same way in my face,
uh-oh.
Then we have a problem.
Uh-oh.
We have a major problem. And a lot of people get on the internet and be talking jive side shit, like just in comments, just in general, like you know, commenting on people, on
right.
mm-hmm. On situations, on what their opinions are on topics, which is
right.
cool, but there's a certain line
that
people
be,
yeah,
yeah.
That just a respect thing,
right.
like you don't
right,
know
right,
me
right,
like
right.
that, you know what I'm saying, you don't, you like, I think when people start to engage with large, what they perceive to be large brands,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This sense of entitlement or
ooh,
this
yeah.
Mm-hmm. This sense of snarkiness
yeah.
comes out that
right.
is just like really weird to me.
Yeah,
right.
Conversation
and I've seen,
is crazy.
Yeah, and I've yeah. seen it. I've seen it just happen just in general. Like when people think that, oh well, I'm talking to this big platform,
right.
my small voice is only going to get through or cut through if I say it this way
right.
or do something
right.
Right, right,
drastic
right.
or extreme. And it's like, you don't need to do all of that. Also, you know, telling me what you think I should and shouldn't do, or if I didn't do it the
that's
way that you
your
thought.
Place.
Yeah, it's
that's
like,
not your
then,
place.
Then go build it. Go
right,
do it.
Go do
yeah.
your own thing.
But I just wanted to say that because I commented on the situation with Cynthia Erivo, which we're going to talk about now.
Ooh.
I commented on that on from Broadway Black's Twitter.
What did you... And just to clarify, what did you say? Because you know I don't be into drama. When I tell you, I do not be on social media.
What I said,
like
what I said was, okay, y'all can have your opinions,
right?
But there is no need to harass Cynthia.
Right.
This,
right. No,
like,
no.
There's no need to harass her
why?
In this way. So people then commented and said nobody's harassing her. We're just asking her to be held accountable and to address these tweets. And I said, if that's what you're doing, then I'm not talking to you.
Right. Right.
I'm not speaking to you.
That's a whole
you.
Different thing.
That's right, right.
That's
it's
a whole different thing.
Well, what?
Yeah. Right, we'll holler.
Ah.
So like, when I say that, I'm saying that people were xenophobic about just in general, just in responding to the situation.
Right.
They were wishing her harm.
That's a lot. People
it was like,
go
and,
too
and,
far.
And because
yeah.
of the situation that I went through with Great Comet, I said, you know, that's the feeling that I started to feel drudged up. I said, like, okay, y'all don't have to harass her in
right.
this way. Like,
yeah.
you can feel how you want to feel. You cannot support the movie by all means, because I want to hear from Cynthia. I want to know what these tweets were. I want
right.
to know what this situation has, what all of this is. But y'all just got to be, and it's like a couple of y'all that I know your names now, because I see y'all, you know what I'm saying? I
right.
see y'all, your names, and you know, the way you interact, and I see your social media profiles. If I see you, We gonna have a conversation because no for real because it's just some out of the pocket sidestepping in the way that people
right.
talk. Like you already told me I could get it off of my one comment. You told me that I could get it too.
Oh
like,
wow.
Oh
so then oh okay
oh
so then I can get it. So keep that same energy when I see you. I want to get
oh.
it when I see you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Take a look. It's in the book, honey.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, we're speaking on Cynthia Erivo is playing Harriet Tubman in
right,
this new
right,
film
right.
starring Cynthia.
I mean, that trailer
Harriet,
looks
well
amazing,
as,
though.
Yeah.
As well as Janelle Monáe and Leslie Odom Jr.
Right.
My good friend Deborah Ayorinde and Antonio Bell are in the movie as well.
Okay. Word. That's what's up. And Paul Tazewell did the costumes.
Of course.
And they look like Paul Tazewell costumes. I mean, Harriet Tubman is dressed.
I
mean, Harriet Tubman is giving me like
different like, looks.
Like lace fronts.
She had lace fronts, baby. She had a hat
looking
like the first black Carmen Sandiego.
Listen.
Baby.
She was giving me all the Madam C.J. Walker.
Okay.
Yes.
She okay. was like,
you know what that mood board looked like?
It was baby. She was giving me like little curls, little gray curls too, in a little olden day. Like,
yeah. I wanted to be like, what products you use?
Right.
What products y'all had?
Right.
I have never, like, this is far beyond my, but you know, Harriet Tubman during this time when she was traveling under Underground Railroad was like 28, 29.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
She was young.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I know we get this picture of Harriet Tubman
being older, and that's not what.
She wasn't that old. She was like,
so
and also Cynthia's doing all of her own stunt work in this movie.
Wow.
Go ahead, Cynthia. She's a beast.
Anytime that you see her in this movie running, jumping, doing any of the stunt work, she is actually doing that. She said she had a stand in, but the stand in didn't film any of the things.
Wow.
The work. So she's actually doing it all.
That's that nine job.
I'm about to show the girls. Yeah. How it should have been.
So the issue with Cynthia Erivo.
I'm about to show the girls what they should have did. Okay, come on, MC Deborah.
Right, I love MC Deborah. But Cynthia Erivo is in sort of hot water right now because it's not the fact that she's a British black woman playing Harriet Tubman, who is an African American hero.
Right.
But the fact that she has a history of anti-black
African American, but towards
comments and sentiment, and has supported one of her close friends who has been dragged through the mud for anti-black sentiments and comments.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you haven't seen, I mean, you can Google or go on Twitter and search Cynthia Erivo's name and you can find the threads of why people have an issue with Cynthia at this present time. You know, people are saying, well, she plays Celie. I said, but Celie's a fictional character, so it's not the same as playing an African-American hero.
If you have
such a disdain for African-American women or people, then maybe this isn't the role for you. And so people are wanting to they're wanting to boycott the movie and not see the movie.
Wow. I can understand people's frustration sometimes because I'm just like, what's his name that plays?
So let's hold on. Before we go, I want to be clear on what people are like really upset about.
What they're
about
really upset about, yeah.
And what they're talking about. So these tweets that they're saying, there's a thread that is being circulated. So it's by Electric Bo Peep, E-Bo Peep on Twitter. Basically breaking it down, of what the problem is with Cynthia Erivo playing Harriet Tubman and them wanting her to address her comments. So the comment that she made was in 2013. There was a tweet that she tweeted on.
Maybe pulling back.
Well, 2013 ain't that long ago.
I mean, it ain't that long ago.
We was all living here in New York at that time.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
True.
So it wasn't that long ago. It feels like, okay, man, like that was, I can't believe it's been that long, but wasn't that long ago. So on January 26, 2013, Cynthia Erivo tweeted, I suppose I should really make an attempt to record Signal properly, speaking about a song. Her friend Joel Joel Montague tweeted and said, or attempt to sing to me daily. And so this seems like Cynthia responded with a inside joke, it seems like. And she responded to Joel Montague and said, ghetto American accent in quotations or in parentheses, ghetto American accent. Baby, you know I got you. I'ma sing it to you, but I still gotta do what I gotta do. You feel me? Scene. #scene. And she spelled do what I gotta do, just all together like what I gotta do, WADIGATTADO, like
I do that all the time.
Vernacular, in an African American vernacular.
Right.
Now this is something that black people would probably do amongst each other.
Right.
I don't think we would type it out that way, like ghetto American accent.
Nah, I still feel like I need to like type the whole word.
Like, I don't know, but I wouldn't like ghetto American accent. Like, I mean, that's something because she's British. She's saying American.
From where she's standing.
Right.
That's what it's called.
Right.
Right.
And so people are upset about that tweet along with not just something from 2013, but just even as last year, up to last year. That Cynthia retweeted a tweet in agreeance and saying this is so wrong, same This is the tweet that she retweeted. So okay. She's not saying this. This is what somebody else said, and this is what Cynthia retweeted. This is so wrong. Same people that will shout racism at a white man, not realizing how damaged they are themselves. It's not new that some African Americans are jealous of Africans in the U.S.
Oh, that's a
look, but there's
that's loaded.
It's
that's
very loaded.
So saying
it's
that
very loaded.
African Americans are jealous of Africans in the U.S.
There's ooh, more to that conversation.
It is more because that's a whole different thing,
right?
I've been to Africa and I've it wasn't that experience. It was Africa's wonderful. Please, y'all go because it's amazing. But the conversation between the African American and the African. It's almost kind of like the shit that they did in Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. So, you know. So she also tweeted in 2017, excuse me, the African and African American is the thing I understand more fully than most. If you think that a black, I guess the tweet is being cut off. I don't know. That's the African and African American is the thing I understand more fully than most.
So is she saying as in
she understands African more than she understands African American?
Well, of course, because that's what African. You're African,
right.
And that's what you grew up with, you know.
You can't presume to know what someone in her shoes has to deal with unless you've dealt with it yourself. I think this is in reference to her friend Lovey, who was dragged pretty much because she came out and basically talked about Tevin Campbell singing for Aretha Franklin's funeral. Mm-hmm. And basically was like, who asked Tevin Campbell to sing? You know, basically saying like, who asked Tevin Campbell to
don't
sing?
Like, where
did
baby
they,
like that.
Where did they pull him? Like, what rock did they pull him from? Mm-hmm. Like, basically saying like, what rock did they pull him from? Like,
it don't matter. Don't talk about
but basically
baby like
she
that.
Was talking about it like in jokes when this man who knew Aretha Franklin, who
right.
like really grew up with her and right. like he was an inspiration to her, one of his heroes. And like she, they had a real relationship
right.
and he's wanting to sing. And like, everybody knows that.
Right.
Tevin Campbell like modeled the way he singed after Aretha Franklin.
Right.
Like everybody knows that if you're a part of black American culture,
like Tevin Campbell.
So
is
that's
that
not far fetched right. to have Tevin Campbell sing at Aretha Franklin. That's
right.
that's not even that's so closely connected. It's like, girl, what are you talking about? So because she's not from America and she has used American culture, black American culture, mm-hmm. to because Lovey has been around for so long, as far as this internet, Twitter streets
right.
and things of that nature, she has used black American culture to excel. She has started to write in black American accent, this mm-hmm. sort of accent that Cynthia's doing. I think that Lovey has built her career off of, but then she also says that she didn't know that black people were enslaved when she moved to the U.S. She thought that they grew up with maids and drivers like she did.
Wow.
That she didn't know that, but she's
but
also
yeah.
had a history of saying things about black Americans that have just been discouraging and just like, girl, mm-hmm. like you look down on black Americans. You think that we're dumb, you think that we're not as smart, you think that we're lazy, that mm-hmm. sort of that.
You know it's interesting because I was born in London, England. I moved here when I was 4.
Word.
My parents are Nigerian.
What?
All I know is an American upbringing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. And it's interesting knowing what the narrative of America is in Nigeria, knowing what it is in London and living it here in America.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And how blind everybody is to the story, the real story mm-hmm. about everything. So it's interesting hearing this conversation and hearing, I think what's missing is a discussion. People are talking, people are saying
right.
things, and people are not having a conversation about
right. I think that's exactly what it is. Just to have that conversation, and we have to accept the fact that it is definitely a conversation that is going to be layered.
Yeah.
A lot of feelings may be hurt from one side or another. I know there's a lot of people, when I went to Africa, there were some people that were like, why would you be here in Africa? Like, y'all got everything in America. Why come here? And then vice versa, where I was in Ghana, so there were people who lived in mansions, had maids, had this, had that, and they looked down upon African Americans because they were just like, you guys are lazy. And it's not all. This is just certain people that I have met, so I do know that there is a perspective of that. But we never have a conversation about it. And if we do, we have it towards each other. We're
yeah.
like, you know, minded, our kindreds, but we never have it to maybe Africans, how we feel about
yeah.
You know.
And that was the goal, to disconnect and you know, and separate.
Right.
Because if we really knew how much alike we were.
That's the thing that kills me. We're so alike.
You know what I mean?
We are, y'all.
If we knew exactly what that was.
Right.
The world would be ours again.
Right, exactly.
But not to, you know, I'm not justifying anything that was said.
No.
But more of a conversation needs to be had across the table.
About
similarities, about differences.
Yeah.
About the history, our histories, our separate histories, our similar histories. I think there's a lot of things that people don't know across the pond. It sucks.
It sucks. I
have this conversation all the time with friends with friends and family. I have to school my family. I took my family to the African American Museum in D.C.
D.C.? What did they think?
You know, they knew about slavery. They knew about, you know, but they it's taught in a way where it's like slavery happened. Slaves were free.
Right.
Civil rights happened, and you're in America, so
right. Everything
is easy now.
They don't see the damages that comes along with, you know, the systematic oppression.
The trauma. They don't even understand the trauma.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, black people all around the world, I don't think we, in Africa, here, England, we don't acknowledge the traumas
right. That
we walk around with from colonialism, from slavery, from
right. All
these things.
Right.
So we had a conversation over lunch after the museum, and I was talking to them about how the trauma still exists.
Absolutely.
In our communities.
Yeah.
Here and there.
Yeah.
So it's a bigger conversation we need to have amongst ourselves,
mm-hmm.
I think. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's so many things that, in particular, that I think is an issue with this particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
One being, it is one thing to hold people accountable. It is totally a separate thing to wish them harm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pushing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like a personal problem.
to
work that out.
Yeah. Like just to like, and what I mean by harassment is that, like, I don't mind holding people accountable. Are we doing it with an open heart? Do you really want an answer?
Exactly. Right.
Are you really looking for, and that's what I feel like she hasn't responded right now, because nobody's really looking for
an answer. No.
Like, you're not listening. You're not speaking. You're not asking questions to listen.
To listen.
Right.
You're asking questions just to be
just
heard.
To be heard.
Exactly.
And
right,
rebuttal.
Just to shout. Like, and I ain't got time for that shit. Like,
no. Nobody
has time to be sitting up here listening to y'all just shout and scream into the
right.
void, because that's not going to change. The movie is filmed.
It's coming out.
So do you want her to answer for the tweets, or do you want to just yell at her?
Right.
Because I understand people can be mad.
Yeah.
I get it.
We can be mad. You can hold her accountable. You can say, like, I really would like you to answer to these particular things. And people have been doing that.
Right.
Which I would love for Cynthia to answer those particular people who are saying, like, hey, and have that real conversation. But I feel like she's under a contract where she has to promote this film.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're probably telling her, don't say shit because you can ruin the way this film, you know,
right.
goes,
and
the way it's released.
We've seen that happen
yeah.
with other films.
Where
in the
people
past.
Like, where you will ruin the release and it'll be all your fault. You'll never work with this particular company or Focus.
Right.
And I think what this is, Focus Features, Focus mm-hmm.
Focus.
You want to work with Focus.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You want to work with Focus again. So
listen,
you said what?
She got bills to pay.
Right.
Baby.
So, like, it's in order to, one, you got to play the game, and you can't play the game at the same damn time.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's a catch-22. She can't really win right now.
Right.
These tweets give me pause. There are things in here where I'm like, and I know of Cynthia. I like Cynthia. I think that she's extremely talented.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's an issue with her playing this role. I think that she can do very well at it. But I also hear on the same token that people feel like she's playing Celia in this movie, too. Like, they don't really see Harriet Tubman, they see Celie.
Okay.
Like, so that's another thing where people are just like, I think because it's a compounded thing where it's like, in this day and age, your personal career can no longer be separated from your art.
Right, your art. Yeah. Yeah.
There's literally no way now, because now the way that we view you is now how we're going to view your art too.
Right.
Like how do we walk into the space to receive your art is now going to be determined how we like you as a person.
As a person,
which sucks.
It's like a motherfucker.
It sucks.
Like, I don't want to say shit ever again. I don't even want to have this conversation with y'all. I don't want to know how dumb y'all are.
Right.
Yeah. I just don't want to know.
Right.
I don't want to know. Just don't tell me. Just don't say shit. Just come to work. Just let's do it and let's go home, because y'all about to drive me crazy. like, it's really ridiculous, because we should be able to have this conversation about the history of African Americans in this country, which this this country has still not settled that debt.
Nope.
And has not acknowledged that hurt and pain, has not apologized for that.
Nope.
We can have that conversation and also talk about how Black British actors are coming over and wanting to work here because this is where the money is.
Right.
This is where the industry is. This is where the acclaim is.
And they're not getting those opportunities over there.
Exactly. But then there's also this talk that Black British actors are better than,
trained. That's normally the dialogue that I hear, is that as if they are trained or given better opportunities. And for me, I'm just like,
I think they have a different way of training.
Yes. It does work. You see results. But I feel like we also have a way of training as well. And I don't think that can apply to every person. Every person learns differently.
Right.
So for us just to use that one set way, it's like going to Juilliard and you're learning that set way, and it may not work for everybody.
Yeah. Right.
And someone's instigating that. Someone's throwing that out, and then we're like fighting with that fact, quote unquote fact.
It's a combination of several different things. So I think that it seems as though, in watching the conversation and watching the dialogue unfold on Twitter and having conversations about it with different people, it seems as though Black British people don't want to acknowledge the fact that both things can be true, where Black British actors can have different training and be good,
right?
But they also can get more work here in the States because they're cheaper to employ. Black British actors are cheaper to employ. They just don't have the credits. They don't have the access, the pool. There are so many people that want to come over from come over from the UK to the States. So it's easier to hire them, and they're talented. It's not taking away from them, but those things can be true. And also, does it make them better than?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the thing I hate. The better thing. I'm just like, I don't.
But then because they get opportunities, because Black British actors get opportunities here.
Right.
And, you know, I think that white Americans like to fetishize accents.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
Reminds them of the old times.
Right.
Yeah. yep.
Definitely. So I think they like to fetishize that. So that plays a hand in it too.
Yeah, yeah. That definitely
and
does.
And nobody wants to feel like I got this job because I'm a fetish.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody, especially Black American people Black actors, period, I got this job because of the way that I look or because I fit this stereotype in a way, and white people been casting like that forever.
Shit.
That hasn't changed. And so I think that's the offense that comes with, like, well, no, I got this because I'm talented and you don't want to accept that I'm talented. But also that can be true. You can be talented and you fit this stereotype that we like, and I like it, and I'm drawn to it, and I'm casting. Yeah, it makes me comfortable. And I think
that's a big thing. It makes people comfortable.
And
it
makes so many levels of intersectionality that I can cross off, so many boxes I can cross off.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
as soon as I mentioned that I was born in London, I lived there for 4 years.
Oh, you instantly
changes
the way people,
white people are around me. Mm-hmm. They're more comfortable. They're more disarmed.
I'm gonna just start lying and say I was born in London.
I was born in London.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mom.
Sorry.
I mean, we moved to Indiana when I was 12.
Where would we be? East London? Ooh, that's
North London.
North London. Okay. I've never been to London. I have to go. I hear it's lit.
It's lit. That's what's up.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, yeah, it's.
But no, I'm not about to be lying for white comfortability. Fuck that. What am I talking about?
Fuck that. I'm about to be like, no, I'm here.
What
bitch.
Am I talking about?
And I said what I said.
Right.
Period.
But okay. So Michael, what do you feel about this particular situation with Cynthia Erivo?
Especially being that you have, you know, three perspectives.
Yeah, yeah. I understand why people feel the way they do, but I feel like the conversation, and then it's just people yelling and not talking to each other, and everyone's on the defense about it.
Right.
So I mean, those are my two cents. I feel like I said before, I think we just need to have the conversation. And I've been around a lot of Black actors who don't feel better than anyone. They just want to work.
They just want to work.
You know.
I hear that. Yeah. I do. I feel like I do get both sides. I feel like as an creative or as an actor here in the States, trying to get work is definitely hard. And especially if you're wanting to play your heroes, especially you being that this is a part of your bloodline.
Yeah.
And then you see somebody who, I guess, doesn't necessarily, they represent, but they don't necessarily understand. I can understand you having some feelings because they've done that with Martin Luther King, with, what's his name, in Selma.
Yeah.
They've done it with 12 Years a Slave. They've, I'm trying to think of all the movies that I can think about where they are basically British.
Yeah.
You know.
And I mean, if you look at Black Panther, for instance, Winston Duke.
Mm-hmm. What is he, Trini?
He's from Trinidad.
Yeah. Hey, Winston, you can get it. That's what I said.
He played that role so well that, you know, people, African people respected him. There's another movie that someone had a horrible accent in, and, you know, people were in arms about it.
Right. Yeah.
So I think,
Will Smith accent was horrible in Concussion.
Oh, I didn't even see it.
Oh, God.
Tell the truth.
What'd you say, Michael?
Nothing.
Huh?
I didn't say anything.
Yo. Yeah, I can't even lie. And I love Will Smith. I really do. But that accent was
and
not
then, I mean, we
it.
Also, like, Forest Whitaker has played African King. I mean, there's been.
You was,
there's
he been, killed that.
Yeah, and there's been.
You know what I'm saying?
And
so,
I'm not mad at that.
And I'm not. That's
I'm not
what
mad
I'm
at
saying.
That, at least bit.
I feel like if you really
I'm more
do the work,
concerned
if you
about
do the work.
I'm more concerned. It's not even about her doing this film. It's more concerning about her personal tweets and feeling towards African American people and the things that she's co-signed along with her one of her close friends who has expressed. Anti
right.
Black American.
Well, that
sentiment.
Is something that I do feel like
anti. Is it anti?
Anti Black American.
Was it anti?
Yes.
Mm.
You don't think so?
What was said?
Well, coming directly from Cynthia was the Ghetto American tweet, and then also the support of her friend Lovey, in retweeting the. Africans being African Americans being jealous of
that I'm just like okay nah that's
African Americans
a little
being
bit
jealous
being,
of
baby ain't nobody jealous
yeah
Africans
get your coins
yeah
cause I'm gonna get mine but I can't say because I don't know what she is feeling at this moment. I'm probably sure this is maybe a constant thing for her, but I really think it really needs is what you said, Michael, it needs to come down to a conversation of, I mean, being honest, but being open about your struggles and what you went through and not to dismay or, you know, to sit here and say, this is my struggle, not anything against you guys. You guys have your own thing that I would like to understand.
Yeah.
I feel like you do have to be held accountable for certain things where it's like, if you're going to play Harriet Tubman, you can't look down. Because at the end of the day, she was African American and she has freed over how many people? Over, I don't want to say 700. How many people? I don't know.
Thousands.
Thousands. Probably more that we don't even really know about. She did that. You know what I'm saying? To say that you don't like African Americans is also to say that you don't necessarily respect Harriet Tubman because we are in a situation of her.
Right.
So I'm just like,
I don't think she's anti-black, though.
I don't think she's anti-black American is what I'm saying.
Oh, anti-black American? I don't think that either.
I don't think that, but these sentiments are anti-black American.
Right. Mm. So it makes you a little like, all
right. Like,
I'm a little
You can be pro-black. I mean, well, I guess you can't be pro-black and anti-black American. But you can represent.
That's a layer.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of like just figuring out in my head like what
that's a very interesting layer
and I think too it's like this it's because of that one ghetto American tweet which I believe was like an inside joke
it probably was
a,
it seemed like it was an inside
yeah,
joke
yeah I think it was too but it's like
on social media you gotta be careful because people will take things
like
the wrong
and when
way.
You said it like I gotta do what I gotta do like you know, like it just sort of is. It just don't feel good.
So
that coupled with, you know, her friend Lovey's very problematic history and past, and her being comfortable in supporting her friend in that, It's concerning.
You know what?
The fact that Cynthia was deleting certain comments off of her Instagram and her Twitter and blocking people that were asking her to be accountable. But I think she's saying that if she felt any sort of type of hate, that she was like blocking people. She said, if it stems from hate and is untrue, I'm blocking it. So even people were saying stuff that she felt like was untrue or asking her about stuff was untrue, she was blocking them. So it's just like, I don't know how do we, if she doesn't even want to, if everything feels like an attack, how will we ever get the answers necessary? Because even Michael Kilgore posted a status this week.
What did
week.
Michael say? What did Michael
Well, Michael saying, Michael was saying, he posted a public status saying that, you know, don't put your mouth on Cynthia, that one, her work ethic or, you know, all the talent that she is, you know, don't put your mouth on her. She's a special one or what have you. And that's fine. I can adore Cynthia, but I can also hold her accountable for, you know.
Yeah, I don't understand why people can't do both. I can see her, I can love you and adore you. But if you said something wrong, I'm going to call you out on it. So it's like, and I don't know if I agree with that.
But also, but doing it in love.
That's what I'm saying.
Doing it in love,
Let's do it in love. Like, you know, we've all been to a place where we wanted to. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
We've all been to a place where we wanted to say something and we wanted to get off our chest and it wasn't in love. Like, we've been there. Where do you think, what do you think that does to a person? And if some people are doing that to one person, like, what is our real goal here? What are we trying to accomplish at the end of the day? Like, I don't know Cynthia like that, but I want to hear her express herself just like everybody
just
else
like,
did.
But
me doing the same things that she did, you know, being, you know, xenophobic or just being flat out rude or, you know what I'm saying, doing anything that is, that's not getting me what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's not helping the situation.
Right.
Doing what offended me in the first place is not going to get me anywhere. Like, and she's going to answer it when she wants to answer. Like, I can't make her answer. What I can do is control is whether I'm going to see, whether am I going to see the film or not. Am I going to go see it? Am I going to support it? Am I going to support her going forward?
Those are things I can control. And
as much as I love Cynthia, I cannot support someone that cannot speak up and talk about possibly being wrong or having something being misconstrued. I've seen certain tweets too where she said that certain things were taken out of context or were misconstrued, but you also have to take accountability for that and say that. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that she will do that before the movie comes out, but I also feel like she's trying to wait for the movie to come out so that the movie can speak for itself. And her work ethic can speak for itself. But this is not about your work ethic anymore. It's about your personal stance as far as African Americans and then you wanting to profit from playing one of our heroes.
I hope she does have the conversation. I hope she does share her.
Because I feel like in everything that I've seen Cynthia and just even being around her and her energy, it's always been sincere, heartfelt. You know what I mean? It's always been of love. You know what I mean? And so I can't see, but I can also see how these things can be perceived. And how perception is reality, people.
And especially in this day and age. It's like everything that
it don't
you
look
say,
good.
It don't,
you know what I'm saying?
It's so easy for people to just misconstrue anything that you do because of now you having social media, so you got to be careful with
anything.
Perception
is reality.
Perception is reality, which is sad.
It's sad,
but
it's scary.
It's very scary.
I mean, it is very, very scary.
Lord,
to
I'm
have
nervous.
Whole,
I gotta hit this pen, honey.
To have your whole reputation, you have your whole reputation to be like basically go downhill in one instant off of one thing that's been being misconstrued or off of one thing. And also, she's never going to be able to reach everybody. Some people are already done.
They're not going to hear it. Even if she does come, they're not going to listen.
Like,
you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Right, that's
mind-boggling
to me. I mean, because I went through a similar situation where it's just like, you just, what do you do?
What do you do?
What can you do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you know what you can do? You hit this oil pen.
Right, true. We're going to do that anyway, amen. Oh, I'm going to do that anyway. That's how I am.
I'm going to do that anyway.
You can hit that. You can start off with that.
But, it's like you are literally free falling. There is nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can say. You're not going to be able to reach all the people. People already have their mind made up no matter what you do. And Cynthia is like, at this point, I'm just like, I'm trying to do my job now.
Right.
Like, at this point, I've already been hired to do this. Like, y'all can't take it away. Y'all can be mad about it. Y'all can have the right to feel those things. But at the end of the day, I still have a job to do.
I was hired
and I still have to go on set and make this
happen.
And
make this money.
Right.
And people will be...
And tell this story. And I feel like she respected the story, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like that's you have to. I mean, just a story like that is just... incredible. I know, right? She good, ain't she?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's nice.
That took me on a journey. There was a flavor profile
It
there.
Was. Yeah. And then sometimes you get the aftertaste. Sorry, y'all. We over here. Yes.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. On a journey.
But yeah, so like, okay... I'm going to reach out and invite Cynthia on. She probably won't come because she's probably going to do all sorts of press for this film. But I would really just love to sit down and hear her speak, hear her heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, because Lord Father God, maybe 6 months ago, I probably would have dragged her to filth over this. I probably.
But that's some real shit.
I probably would have dragged her because, you know, I've never been a fan of Lovie. For years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I dragged Lovie some years ago simply because she was talking about somebody's clothing options, and I'm thinking, like, she was basically making fun of somebody else in the way that they dressed. And from that point, I was like, look at you. I dragged her, I went off on her. So we've never been cool since then, you know, and all of our friends are.
Really? But people still talking about people's clothes? They ain't got nothing else better to do.
I mean, this is back. Like, this might have been like 2012, 2011, like. Back when Twitter, I've been on Twitter since 2009.
Yeah, back when Twitter was
so good back then.
It was so different. I had to delete all of my tweets from then because Twitter in that day and age was just like, you could say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Oh my God.
Like,
through the mud.
Twitter was entertaining.
I mean, even each other. Like, you were just like,
dragging.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
Like, and some of those things are actually coming back to haunt people. I don't know if you heard about the situation with Five Fifths. Do you know who Five Fifths is? He's a writer. He's been on Twitter since like 2009
too. I've been hearing about this.
Back in that day, there was a group of men that would use talking about black women and like saying things about Serena Williams and calling her like a bodybuilder or saying, you know, she looked like a monkey or saying, just basically talking about her physique and say, you know, basically just disparaging things about black women and Serena Williams. And so it wasn't popular, but it was sort of like popular. You talked about people, you said the most outrageous things.
To get a response, to get a reach.
To get people to make people laugh.
I feel like that was the culture back then.
It was the culture.
It was acceptable back then.
He established, and what he said in his apology was that he established a social currency by doing those things. Mm-hmm. And he got called out on it when he wrote this article about other people talking about Serena Williams, but he never mentioned himself and saying how he was a part of that. And so then people pulled up the tweets like, I like how you write about people talking about Serena back then when she was one of the main ones.
Let me open up the laptop.
Right. And then people also talking about
2009 when you said such and such.
Who is like doing the research?
Russia. You can go on Twitter and put in somebody's name and put in a keyword and all of the tweets to come back. Like, I had to go in and try to delete all Drew Shay, Tyler Perry stuff just in case.
Lord, I would love to see that.
Just in case he
wanted
to give me a check or something.
Let me go back and delete
some of this shit.
Lord Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally had to go back and delete all of, like, from 2013 on back to 2009 just because... That was just a crazy time on Twitter. So I get it, but then also I get how people can be upset about it today because it hurt real people. There were times where people were exposing people's, you know, nudes. This is back before, before like it was sort of a thing. But like somebody did it back then, like back in 2011 or 2009, people did that or said stuff like that or, you know, put that out there, it tarnished people. Like one girl was saying that she was saying just this whole situation about Five Fifths, she was saying that her dad hasn't talked to her in 8 years because of that situation happened to her where the timeline exposed her news. And everybody was talking about her. Everybody knew who she was. And he was so embarrassed by her that he hasn't talked to her in 8 years. Her life is still affected from something
from
that
something
happened.
Like that.
And back then it was just all jokes for us. Right. You know what I mean?
And it was a moment. It was like,
right.
Meanwhile, someone's life is in shambles.
Right. Yep.
Let me tell you something. You gonna be mad at me for sending some naked pictures? God damn it, be mad. Cause I got more. Be mad. I'm gonna be like, I'm sorry. It was hot that day.
Yeah. this whole situation can either, because Cynthia has not had a successful transition into film. I don't think we can say that she's had a successful transition into film because her first film was El Royale, which none of us would have seen that if
I saw it.
If it wasn't, if she wasn't in it, would you have gone see it?
No, that's the reason why I wanted to
see
it.
Right, because she was in it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that anybody would have really seen that if she wasn't in it, as far as black folks are concerned.
Right.
It wasn't our style of movie.
Right. It wasn't for us. I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
What was his name? Chris Hemsworth?
Jeff Daniels was in it.
Oh, okay.
I can't even tell you, child.
Hey, Chris Hemsworth. Hey, Thor.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, Thor. Yeah. Okay.
Is it Thor? Yeah, it's Thor.
He's Thor.
I should be knowing this. I'm a Marvel
geek.
Three
brothers, right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of them.
Y'all.
So then also her second, anyway. So her second film was Widows.
Widows.
Didn't really
showcase her at all.
It didn't showcase her in the way that I thought it would have.
Yeah.
But also the film in general didn't pick up or, you know, really wasn't the box office smash that we thought
that
it would
I thought
be
it was going
to
be, yeah.
Yeah, because to have those four women.
And Steve McQueen.
Yeah. Right. It just really didn't go off like it was supposed to. So that was her second film. And then now this big controversy, you know, has Leslie Odom Jr. It's really a theater film. It has Leslie Odom Jr., right. Janelle Monáe, Paul Tazewell in the costumes.
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate seeing more theater people now coming into, you know, film and television. Yeah.
Well, that's always happened. It's just now this is new wave.
It's new wave. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially with Hamilton sort of opening the door.
To
mainstream, like people know about it.
Right.
True.
And even still, some of those, like Leslie Odom Jr. is part of the Hamilton wave. Right. And he's just now. This is it's only his second film, maybe his second one.
Because what was
the Orient Express?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But this is like his second film, and like
it's so crazy sometimes when I think about all the people who work in theater who aren't on TV, who aren't on my screens.
Yeah. Well, Leslie should be coming with a show with Kerry Washington. They're doing.
On ABC?
Word.
Yeah, remember that's coming.
Yeah, it's like some.
I think it's like Pastor Robert, Jake's family or something.
Either ABC or Hulu.
I think it's like ABC. It might be a combination.
It could be that.
Yeah.
If he's gonna do that, can I be the spokesperson and be like, Nationwide is on your side. Y'all need more people.
Oh my God.
I'm down.
So you know, I don't know. I mean, I want our Broadway stars to get more of a, I want our Broadway stars to get more recognition.
Yeah.
I think they work really hard.
They work hard.
But this could really tank Cynthia's
career.
And
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want that. I feel like she's very, very talented.
I really think she's going to have to address and rise above this.
And I feel like maybe a simple conversation, well, it won't be simple, but a conversation she should have it.
An apology has to begin.
Most likely, probably.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely agree. But I really hope we can just honor Harriet Tubman's
story. That's my thing. I don't want her story to get lost with the controversy. That was like the same thing with Birth of a Nation,
right.
I was just like, damn, son. It literally is that was a tough. Yeah.
And this is the same,
that's a
tough
the
same
one.
Way,
this
though.
Is
like this is, the people are going off in the same
I was like,
way.
Damn, because what is he doing now? What is,
He's been
Nate.
Canceled.
I mean, I've
not seen him.
It's crazy.
I have not seen him anywhere.
Like, where is Nate Parker at?
Let me not even go down this rabbit hole.
No, literally. Birth of a Nation was 2016, and we have
God
not seen
damn,
him.
That was what?
We have not seen Nate Parker since then.
It's
I'm
crazy.
Just like, sir.
Because, you know, compadres have done worse, and they're winning Oscars.
Yep. worse. Who won?
I'm not gonna justify.
I'm not gonna justify anything.
First and foremost.
Look, you heard how bad that sounded.
That sounded bad, but I'm not gonna justify anything.
I was like,
but people are still working, is what I'm saying. People are working.
Yep.
And they shouldn't be. They should be held accountable as well.
It should be the same.
Right. Yeah. But black folks just real swift with it when it comes to this black Twitter and like this unification between us, like when we get unified. And
Why can't we be like that in real life though?
We can be.
Like, can we use black Twitter? Yeah. Can we be like that? I think that we are.
Well, no, everybody can't be like that in person because it's easier to retweet to hide behind the retweets. Yeah, it's easy to hide behind the retweet than it is to actually get out there because, like I was just saying earlier. Everybody like
people be over here thinking they the damn rock.
I just don't understand that because these words. I don't get that. Like
Twitter fingers, it's trigger fingers.
It's beyond me to understand why because the same thing I talk, the same shit I talk here.
Yeah, you
but
talk
do people not do that
anywhere.
No more? I just feel like it used to be a culture where it'd be like if you say this, we gonna meet outside and let's do this.
This guy was talking shit on this one guy's Instagram account.
Pulled up on that ass.
Pulled up to his job.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Where am I? I was just playing.
I didn't mean it. Oh, okay.
You gonna find out. You gonna pay me my gas money that I took to travel here to come whoop your ass?
It's interesting. You don't be wanting to do that.
You don't want to get out of pocket and beat somebody's ass. Like, you don't want to have to do that. But, like, the same shit I talk on this show, on these airwaves, like, don't get it. Don't let it fool you. Like, I will say the same shit to your face. I have no problem doing that. We can have a conversation. Like, and I've done this. I can have the whole conversation. I've been in several instances where people approach me like I was going to be some punk bitch and not say the same shit that I'd be literally confused. Like, you thought I was going to, retract or be like, oh hey, nah. Nigga, I'm the same nigga. I'm the same person.
Nah.
Like, and that's why people be confused. Like, you think that I'm gonna fake the funk for you just because we in each other's face and I'm gonna smile like, no, I'm not that nigga. I've never been that nigga, and that's why people have a problem with me. You know what I'm saying? Some people have an issue with me because they cannot take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You cannot take real energy when you fake as fuck.
But this industry is filled with fake ass energy.
This industry is filled with, and I just can't operate like that. I can't operate with that. Mm-mm. And so y'all gotta realize that what your fingers type, you got to be able to back that up. You got to be able to hold that weight.
Right.
Hold it. Mm-hmm. Hold, and you know the only way they got the fingertips.
People don't exercise no more.
But that boggles
people don't square. People don't. Right. You know.
It's not even about fingertips, strong as fuck. It's not even about squaring up. It's just about, you know what I'm saying, you can say whatever you want to say, but it's about how you going to approach me. You know what I'm saying? Is this the way that you want me to talk to you?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And you know, I've been guilty of the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I've been guilty of talking to people the way that I do not want to be talked to, but right. at the same time, if I disrespected you and you want to fight me, I will still fight you.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be no, like, I'm not going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to still say the same shit. Right. Like, okay, maybe I was wrong, but you want to fight me, so let's box.
Words
don't hold the same weight because they're so accessible to people now. People say things and don't realize.
And be really flippant. Yeah. Like, back you don't in know the what day, the fuck you talking to.
Back in the day,
that's
if you
what
said
saying.
Something
if you said
someone,
something, you got to stand by.
Whether it's an agreement, whether it's you dissed them, that's your word. That's your bond.
Like, word is bond.
Now.
Now it's like, oh, I was just playing.
And I don't get that. That's not where we come from.
I feel like it's a generational thing where, like, arguments starts with Twitter fingers and then it's nothing else. Mm. And I'm just like, you got to be careful who you decide to do that to, okay? Because I know there's people who have died from shit like that.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful who you decide to step up on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I got to be going to a show, y'all. So we're going to...
Who's talking about squaring up?
We didn't talk about the Cynthia Erivo situation so much. In other good news, Little Shop of Horrors, the Pasadena Playhouse with Amber Riley, MJ Rodriguez.
Come on, MJ, that's my girl!
George Salazar are going to be starring in that production. I cannot wait to see that. I'm actually amazingly excited.
When is that open?
Will be September 17th through October 20th. So Amber Riley is playing Audrey 2, the voice of the plant. MJ Rodriguez is playing Audrey, and George Salazar is Seymour.
That's gonna be fabulous.
Yeah, I can't wait till they announce who their sea urchins are.
Oh, that'd baby, that's about to be lit.
Yeah. It's gonna be a good old
dang, I wanna see
time. Shout out to Moulin Rouge, who opened this week.
Hey, Amber. Hey, Yarell. Hey, Ashley Lauren. Caleb.
Them your friends?
Them my friends.
Okay.
Hi, friends.
Go, friends.
From, are they from Atlanta?
Who?
Anyone?
Hell nah. Amber, where you from? Pittsburgh? I don't know.
And
she's from somewhere over there.
When one door opens, another one closes, too.
Oh, she's lost. Who's going down the line now? Who is leaving?
Strange Loop closes.
Oh, no, man. Damn.
I thought I had time.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's still open for like 3 months now.
I know, but I've been running around trying to pay these bills.
Ooh, it's so good.
I know.
We're going to get a cast album. I can't wait. Now, I'm going to let the show close, but tomorrow I'm going to start asking for the cast album every
Please
day.
Please do.
I need it.
Can y'all do this ASAP?
I need it.
Oh,
also Frankie and Johnny Audra McDonald closes today.
Oh, closes today?
Yeah,
Was this early?
Because it was limited.
I think it was limited.
Early.
I think it's closing early. Yeah.
No, I thought they had like maybe 2 weeks left.
Child.
Damn, Broadway is over here being like, I'm snatching souls.
They're like,
snatching voices.
We also
like,
talk about Daniel J. Watts and the cast of Tina Turner.
What's up, D. Watts?
Daniel J. Watts will be joining Adrian Warren as Ike.
What's up, Adrian?
Yes.
In the Tina Turner musical. So he's going to be playing.
Now, I'm going to say this. Today.
Also, the Don Lewis from A Different World is going to be in the musical as well.
I didn't know that. Wow.
She's playing Zelma.
Oh, word.
Myra Lucretia.
She's
playing
a mom.
But she was in. What was she in the 80s?
Who?
From Different World.
Don Lewis?
Yeah.
She was on A Different World.
Yeah.
No. Are you talking about Broadway, in theater, right?
Oh, yeah. She was in The Tap Dance Kid. Don't give me the line. Well, I said The Tap Dance
also,
Kid.
Also, like, we all knew that, Watch, you had this now that the news is out. We knew.
Wait, you said what?
We knew.
What?
We knew Watts had Ike.
Oh, yeah, we've been
there. We've been there. Yeah,
we've been there for a while.
But now that it's out, congratulations,
boo. It's been like 4 or 5 months.
We know. We know, son.
It's been like 4 or 5 months. Oh, yeah, she wasn't a Tap Dance Kid. She was in the touring production of the Tap Dance Kid.
Work. Who else? Who's going to play her sister? Tina's sister. What's her name? Why am I blanking?
Oh, child, I don't know. But shout out to everybody that's going to be in the show. Stephen Booth, Nick Rashad Burroughs, Gerald Caesar, Kayla Davion, Franklin, Judith Franklin, Sheldon Henry, David Jennings, Ross Lakite.
Come on, black people.
Lakiti. Oh, how you say this?
Say what?
Ross last name from Frozen. What's Ross last name? Ross Lakites? Lakites?
What you
just
pointing
making
at?
Shit up.
What are you pointing at? You the y'all one that can't say right Massachusetts here. Now.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking y'all. This is what I do every time people come to the studio. Like I be asking them.
Is it Lakites?
That's what I thought.
Lakites.
Ross, we are so sorry for butchering your last name.
But you know, I start like throwing in different
Lakites. Lakites.
Lakites.
Lakitases.
Lakitases.
Lakites.
Lakites.
Go ahead, Ross. You
book. I feel you. They be butchering my name too.
Robert Lindsay, Rob Marnell, Mahirt Marsh, Jay Harden, Deshaun Milton.
Hey.
Destiny Rhea, Jessica Rush.
Destiny!
Alicia Short.
Wait, Jessica Rush is doing this? Dang, Alicia she been doing Short, every show. She Carla been at the Love Fontaine for the past couple of shows.
Katie Weber, LeAndrea Ellis-Gatson.
Come on, Katie.
Holy Conway, Matthew Griffin, who I grew up with. Go ahead, Matthew. Gloria Manning, Mars Rucker, Jaden Theophile, and Antonio Watson.
Yeah, word.
A cast.
Theophile.
Baby, that's a cast.
That is a cast.
And I heard the show is amazing.
Nkeki's
coming over.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up, Nkeki?
The play the role.
We did Alice My Heart together.
She's Nigerian.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so Tina features a book by Katori Hall, directed by.
Katori Hall.
Y'all know. I know all that.
Yep.
Y'all know. Let me just move on because we gotta get.
When is it
out
open?
Of here.
When is it open?
We didn't talk
or
about
previews.
When it previews?
Oh shit.
Cause you know it's about to be lit.
I done moved. Let me go back to my tab.
Cause you know everybody and their mama gonna be there.
I done moved that whole. Well, everybody and their mama
gonna be there.
Is gonna be there. Damn. Now you done threw me off because I didn't. Ooh. Okay, there we go. You done threw me off. It's your fault.
Threw him off.
Previews begin October 12th.
Work. Okay.
And tomorrow. Opens on November 7th.
Hey. yeah, that's my birthday. So yep. For y'all who want to do something for my birthday, y'all should go get me tickets to Tina the Musical.
Well, there you go. Ari might be, you know, DJing our Halloween party again this year.
Damn. What my costume gonna be? I was like three, like Halloween. I did three.
Well, I told you what the the theme is sort of gonna be the same as last year, but like not.
I was
really.
Erykah Badu, and I was passing out incense to everybody.
Love that.
I was like, live your life.
People want more of a scary theme this year.
So I'm gonna be Lupita. From us.
Ooh.
Reverse that shit every time.
Don't tell them that she don't know just yet.
Yeah,
think on it. You never know.
Let the people
think. Look, Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. I be ready all the time.
I'm stressed.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm stressed. I can't think of
I'm like, I got at least 15 options that I know of.
Jesus.
Cause I love Halloween like that.
Oh.
Okay. I know. You gonna have to sage after I said that, I guess.
All right, so we gonna move right along to the. So we got a listener letter from. Let me make sure I can say this name.
Okay, Lakitas.
We just gonna call this person.
Henry.
So. Says, hey, what's up, family? I hope this letter finds you all well. Oh, okay. Well, I guess we can't say their name. Uh-oh. So this person's name is actually Wes. So.
Did you just say we can't say their names?
Well, he just told me that they could. So he put in a letter, so we must be able to.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
Wes says, hey, what's up, family? Hope this letter finds you all well. It's me, Wes, blessed by the best to be doing what I love.
Okay.
However, here's a situation that leads me to my question. So I booked a gig that can be considered a big stepping stone for my career. Don't mention what it is on the air, but I'll tell y'all for context. Chris might have to bleep this. You're going to have to bleep this, Chris. It's
nice. Congratulations.
They are covering two major roles and also in the ensemble. The agent representing me on this contract is no longer my agent because it was clear to me she wasn't the right person I needed on my team to help me get to where I want to be.
Uh-oh.
With that being said, it's no surprise she wasn't capable of negotiating anything on my behalf to make the contract better for me and in turn herself. She relayed a message to me from an exec handling contracts saying that there are other members in the ensemble of the show that will get paid more than me simply because they have bigger ensemble credits. Okay. This bothered me because though I am not a name or have Broadway credits yet, that doesn't make me any less valuable. I've been giving self-worth and market value a lot of thought before this came up, and I've decided that the amount of the value the industry gives us will always be lower than our self-worth. Do you guys agree? How do we get producers to pay us for the amount of work and our spirits we are giving? I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this. Hmm. I mean, you, just like any other job, you pay for your experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, once you get to a certain pay level, ain't no going back down.
Back down. Yeah. No.
You've been in a show, you got paid this certain amount because you had this much experience. That's your pay quote.
That's like, what producers don't see that. They see numbers.
They do see numbers.
Yeah, yeah. What's the bottom line?
This is the equation. This is how we work.
And how much are we willing to pay you for your talent? Not how much you're actually worth. How much are we willing to pay you?
Yeah.
Like, that's the get you gotcha when you not making the decisions with the money.
Right, with the money.
You don't control the money. You don't have
a say in anything.
Your value could be whatever it is, but are you willing to accept what they've offered you?
Right.
That's where you value.
Yeah.
You have to be able to bring those numbers back to them. Why are you valued at this rate? Why should this be what we offer you?
Right.
It can't just be
because I believe I need it.
It can't
or I
be
believe
that,
I'm worth that.
That's not how they think.
Right.
They're business people.
I mean,
business people.
That's just not how anybody thinks. I'm not about to pay you $10,000 more because you think that you're worth that.
Right.
Because you feel like I'm so talented, I'm worth $10,000 more.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, show me where the worth is. Where is it? Like, what is?
Because they're gonna be asking for everything.
Yeah, and that could be your worth. That could be totally fine.
Right.
But that doesn't mean I have to pay that.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can say, this is my worth. This is where my bottom line is at. This is what I'm willing to accept. I'm not willing to go underneath that. And they are willing to say, okay, we can take that or leave that.
Right.
And if they leave that, or if you take whatever it is that they're offering you, then are you really worth what you're saying what you're worth? You know what I'm saying?
Like you said, it's a game. It's really a game. You got to figure out how to
play it.
Play it.
It's fucked up.
It's truly because I'm like, I feel you, baby.
It's fucked up. I feel you so hard.
I'm like, chill, bitch. Actually, I'm like,
and you covering,
G's.
And you in the ensemble, and you covering two roles,
right?
And you're not gonna get paid more,
right,
than some other people that's just probably in the ensemble, not maybe covering the same amount of roles, like. Child,
look,
that's the quote system.
I don't know, right?
Is,
you better pull out that equity contract or something and try to find some points, some more dollars,
some something. But you know what? I've noticed
you might get $8 more a week if you pull out that.
Maybe.
Right.
Let me tell you, I'm like, people do not value until you really show the work. Like,
yeah.
Let me call out sick. And if I knew I had to cover, and you know, when you call out sick or something happens and all the shit, everybody else will call out sick.
Right, go
and
to hell.
You're mm-hmm. like, nah, I'm out sick.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got it.
Y'all go ahead.
And then when they see that it's a shit show because they ask you to do everything,
y'all
then
go
you're
ahead.
Like, how was that? Oh, now you realize what my worth is. Okay,
right.
Cool. Yeah. And then they might, because they might give you, actually, you might be able to negotiate some things, but.
So go ahead and get that credit.
I mean, but you got to make a decision. And if you want to not do it, you have to stand by not doing it. If you sit here and say,
tell you right now, you need to go ahead and do it. You don't got no credits. So you go ahead and.
Damn,
and,
son.
No, for real. Like, you can't.
You need to drop the bombs. You ain't got no credits. Damn.
No, I'm just saying, like.
It's the reality
go ahead and save all that anger for when you do got the credits.
Damn.
When you go ahead and save all that, like, oh, y'all gonna regret.
Y'all gonna regret that
shit. Yeah, and then put it all into work. Like, get mad and be on stage and just kill it.
This, I'm
this,
fucking this
right,
shit up.
This is my worth, and y'all gonna see it. And one day, I'm gonna come back like Julia Roberts, and I'm gonna do a big mistake.
Big
huge. Like, I'm serious. Like,
big mistake.
Yeah.
Honey, that's what you gotta do.
For real. Like, you just go ahead and do that and get it in and do your best and show them what you got.
Yep, and hit an oil pen too.
Yeah. And make the connections. You know what I'm saying? That's really
what
it's about. You know what I'm saying?
These connections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to know people.
And find other ways this experience, this project can benefit you, and you can use it to your advantage.
That's why. That's really why I like. That's why I really like doing projects too, because witnessing other people's process in
right.
a creative
right.
environment is like no other. You learn so much.
From
right.
the first
yeah.
project, you want to be a student. Like,
yeah.
this is my first time on a feature film, and I'm literally just
watching everything.
Everybody.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Watching everybody.
From the PAs
right.
to everybody.
That's what I learned from doing my short film, being like, learning about cinematography mm-hmm. and just the art form of that. Now when I look at movies, I'm just like looking at the cinematography and the editing, because those people are the like unsung heroes.
Right.
Like, you can have some great shit, but if that shit
that
is not edited
design,
right,
boy,
and if that sound
right.
is not right, if
yeah.
the cinematography is not hitting
the orchestration,
it ain't shit. That's why I'm just like, yo, these bits and pieces,
yeah,
even just on the other side, it means a lot.
And knowing
it affects
that,
the way you feel.
Yeah.
Knowing the way everyone works informs your performance,
yep.
informs what you do. You make their job easier by doing something differently.
Yep. Yeah. I agree. What you think, Chris?
I think I'm high. That's what I'm
Chris said he think he high.
I'm starting
well,
to
listen.
See spaceships on make it.
We want to hear from y'all. Make sure y'all send us your listener letters. Send us all your opinions about the hot topics we talked about. We want to hear what y'all think about Cynthia. We want to hear what y'all think about, you know, the new shit that's coming to Broadway with
mm-hmm.
Tina Turner and all that good shit.
Tina's at Stay Forever
so make
Turning.
Sure you, yeah, so make sure yes. you email us. Email us at offbookpod. It's offbook@broadwayblack.com.
Oh, I was about to be like,
all the social media handles are offbookpodcast. So email us at offbook@broadwayblack.com. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at offbookpodcast. And get into my girl Ari Groove.
And also, we got Snob, y'all. Sunday night on Broadway is every third Sunday of the month.
Yes.
The next one is going to be August 18th.
Okay.
Bring your ass. It's free.
Come on.
Ooh, I'm
at the Row Hotel.
At the Row Hotel.
What's your plug?
My plug is follow me on Instagram at @MichaelAloyde_ and CultureCon October 12th.
Yes. Come
oh,
on,
I
should have
did that.
Ooh, you got a ticket
NYC.
For me this year?
Yeah, I got you.
Yes.
CCNYC.com.
All the bougie blacks going to be at the CultureCon.
Oh,
y'all.
I need to be there.
We had Coleman Domingo last year. We had John Legend. We had D-Ray. We had Remy Ma. We had Nick Cannon.
You had Remy Ma?
We had everybody.
It's the business casual Afropunk.
It's not business casual.
I'm just playing.
I'm just
playing.
I'm like, I can see that.
It's,
I can
it's the business.
It.
It's the app business summer.
I'm gonna wear my cowrie shells in my head while I got on my pinstripes.
But no, they have they actually have really great booths and talks and
It's dope. It's a it's for us, really by us.
I wanna go.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
Come.
I'm gonna be in my best Afro business attire.
And look out
with your titties out.
With my titties out.
Yeah.
Because it's hot.
It's perfect.
Let me tell y'all something, ladies. Rock the titties out. Give them a break. Listen. You ain't got to wear that push-up bra all the time.
Right.
While your shit be flat. It's flat crazy. And stuck like that. Let them loose.
I'm out of here. We out of here, y'all. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Michael Aloyde.
And I'm Ari Groover, a.k.a. Ari Groove.
And we out, y'all. Thank y'all. Deuces. Till next time.
Deuces.
Bye.
I'm geeked up.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.